one of my favorite guests on one of my favorite topics. Tom Gagliano is back. Don't put crap in your kid's diaper. Do you love it? Yeah, I do too. We need this, especially with the weekend here. The weekend is here, right? The kids are going to be all over the place. And you want to do right by them, don't you? Say, well, what kids exactly are you talking about? Well, when I talk about kids, that can be college sophomores, juniors, seniors, right? They're still, I say that with affection. Four men pleaded guilty Monday in connection with a 2013 fraternity hazing death of a New York college student. And recently, a Penn State pledge was found dead. I also, as a college student, experienced a death on our campus in 1977, St. John's University in New York. So how long has it been going on? It seems to get even more violent. While many thought that college hazing was a thing of the past, it's clear that it's still a clear and present danger on campuses all across the country. Tom Gagliano is a mentor, a speaker, and the author of several books, including my favorite title, Don't Put Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. He's also the best-selling author of The Problem Was Me, two great books. The website is www.thomasgagliano.com. Thomas, welcome back to the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. How are you today?
Good, Ed. How you doing, buddy?
These things kill me. I honestly do. I feel for these parents and the kids. I'm just like most people, thinking this is outdated stuff until I see it in the headlines. What do you make of the continuing practice of endangering, punishing one another to get into fraternities, and in some cases, actually killing the kid who's pledging?
It's horrible. It's, you know, but I got to tell you, Ed, this is the society we live in today. We live in a society where everything is digital. Nobody's talking to anybody. Everybody's throwing things on words on text and computers. We got the millennial, the kids today that you know, they don't know how to regulate this discomfort. They have no clue. They want what they want when they want it, and they always want those quick fixes. You know, this is again a product of what we're dealing with today. This is a product of parenting. This is a product of lack of education. You know, 9 out of 10 students who have experienced hazing, they don't even consider themselves to have been hazed. They don't know what's going on. You got alcohol in 90% of these cases. Now, come on. We know what happens when you're drinking too much. And we know when you're that age and the hormones are going crazy. Those two things alone are formulas for disaster. So you got so many ingredients in this soup that aren't good. Where do you want to begin?
Tom Gagliano, our guest, the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, AM, FM stations all across the country. Let's begin where I always begin personally on these issues. Was it the loss of an at-home mother-father dynamic that accelerated this? When it happened in the 70s and I was in college, it truly was a rare occurrence. Not that there hadn't been a history of it, maybe one or two times a year, but the absence of someone to give you either implicit or explicit guidance, right? You know, some parents never turn around to the kid and say, this is what you need to do. They just behave a certain way in front of the kid. In other homes, you know, there's a big dialogue, but how much of a role do you think parents play in deadly hazing episodes?
A huge role. First of all, look, you know, I always say the same thing over and over again. We can't control our kids' behavior. We have to establish a child that makes healthy decisions on their own, because we're not going to be with them when they get to college and when the handcuffs are off and they get old enough. So if we don't give them the tools to make healthy decisions, you know what healthy decisions are? Healthy decisions are not saying no to drugs because I need to, saying no to drugs because I want to. Everybody needs to say no to drugs. But the ones that want to say no to drugs are the ones that are going to walk away. Same thing with hazing. It's the same thing. We have to build that foundation. We got parents working all the time, and it's understandable. We're all trying to make ends meet and this and that. But the kids are not getting enough nurturing, curiosity. They're not getting enough family intervention. Parents, the worst thing they're doing is when they feel guilty, they buy their kids video games, buy this, buy. I tell parents, buy them a bottle of scotch. Why not? Same thing. You're numbing their feelings. You're not talking about their feelings. So what's happening is kids are not equipped, like we were, Ed, to deal with things at this age because they don't know how to get out of their own messes. They're not. They don't have that self-esteem to deal with this stuff. And again, their parents, they're not close enough that they could talk to their parents about their feelings. All of these things really is the foundation of parenting to begin with. Because when you come from a good foundation, a foundation where you want to make the healthy decisions on your own, you'll turn away from some of this stuff. You may get into the frats. You may do certain things you don't want to do. It happens. But there'll be a point where you'll make that healthy decision and say, you know what? I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here. When a child is looking for those frat parties to fill a void inside, a void that they didn't get in childhood, a void of wanting to belong so very bad, they want to be a part of so very bad that they sacrifice their own values and scruples, these are the incidences that really bad things happen.
You know, I'm going to bring up an example. I think a lot of listeners are going to recognize this. You might also, Tom. There's going to be households where the kid confronts the complex world that we're in right now, right? You join the fraternity. You want to feel that you belong when you get to campus. The campus is new to you. So those are all contemporary in the moment. But when you go home, you look at your parents and you say, you know, they're not going to understand this. I can tell my parents are not equipped for this. Now, this isn't a resentment, really. It's just to the kid kind of clear. So whether they go to an older sibling or a cousin or a best friend, they're not able to reach into the adult world for any kind of guidance or advice. So I understand that it may appear that this help from mom and dad is not available. What we did is we found others in our neighborhood, community. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I had a great relationship with a couple of my high school teachers because they were in their 30s. They looked like they understood the world we were in. And I just had a feeling that my Polish dad from Hell's Kitchen and my little Italian mom from the Bronx on Hunt Avenue might not be familiar with some of these things. What are the options kids can use when they don't think they can settle or learn enough about an issue like this at the kitchen table? What's another option?
You see, this is it's a great question. You're right. You explained that perfectly. But here's the problem is we're growing up in this friggin' digital world. That's the problem. We don't know how to have personal. See, you knew how to have a personal conversation at some level, Ed. So did I. They don't know how to have personal conversations. You got to talk to kids today that are on dating sites that get ghosted, that people don't want to meet with them until they're texting for 3 weeks. When I wanted to meet a girl, we go to the coffee shop, we have a cup of coffee. We didn't have to go through 3 weeks of testing first. It's a different world, Ed, and that's the problem out there. This is a whole different world. You know, we're not talking to our phys ed teachers like we used to talk to our phys ed teachers. Even the friendships we had weren't just on texting and computers. It's really a different world, and it makes it much more challenging. And you know what it comes down to again is, am I free enough to be vulnerable with my feelings? Now, maybe not my parents, but with anyone. Do I know how to do that? Do I know how to say, you know, hey, I'm a little afraid of this? Or do I know how to process how I feel? Or am I clueless? Am I searching? You know, again, I always say that these kids in these hazing, in these frats, they're searching for something to make them whole, something to make them complete, something that they can't find in these frat houses and hazing places. They're not going to find it there, but they don't have enough awareness to know that. They're just searching and searching for a place to belong because they feel like they don't belong. So I hear what you're saying. You're making sense, but you have to teach that foundation first of understanding how to even express yourself. Me and you grew up in a world that, you know, because of teachers and friends, and we I don't know about you, Ed, but I was with my friends every day and night, night and day. I came in to eat, said hello to mom and dad, went back outside again. This is not the world out there today. You follow me?
I do. You know, that's exactly the world I was in. And I learned something by listening to you now. You've mentioned this a couple of times, and a bell went off in my head. The overemphasis on the technology. You know, it's always two thumbs. They're typing away with the two thumbs. What is, I believe, going to atrophy is the use of an actual emotional vocabulary. They're not hearing it. They're not, even if they do hear a little bit of it, they don't practice it. It doesn't reinforce. So words elude them when it comes time to manifest their feelings. I think I'm on to this from, you're saying that, aren't you? That the device.
Exactly, Ed. They don't know how. It's not even that they don't want to. It's not their fault. They don't know how. And again, you know, if mom and dad are texting all day long and on a computer all day long, where's that modeling? You know, I tell parents, shut the computer off for a half hour. Talk to your children. What's going on? What'd you do today? Best part, worst part of your day. Shut the computer off. How are they going to learn from us? And let me tell you something else that's very important that I think your viewers have to hear. You know, in addiction, there's a thing called endorphins. And endorphins give off dopamine. Dopamine is a chemical in the brain that gives you that feel good. So, for instance, alcoholics, when they're drinking, their endorphins are going off and they're getting feel goods. The problem is that their endorphins don't stop. They just keep going. They need more and more and more. Nothing wrong with drinking. Something wrong with drinking too much. Nothing wrong with gambling. Something wrong with gambling too much. So these, now picture this. We got kids nowadays, 10, 11, 12 years old, that their dopamine is going off just by texting, just by hearing the text come through, just by the ringing, just by this and that. They're getting feel goods from digital products. So do you see how we're getting almost addictively pulled in a nonverbal area to fill our voids?
Not only do I hear you, but you conjure up another easy image for the audience to follow along. It's Pavlov's dog. You ring the bell, you get the response. And we learned decades ago that if you train responses to go with circumstances, you can be good or you can train badly. You can have bad associations. You got it.
I call it good habits, bad habits, Ed. Are we in good habits or bad habits? And now think of this. You're starting 11 years old with these endorphins, these dopamine, with these feel-goods on screens. What, by the time you're in high school, you're toast. You're already not even looking at human beings. You're looking at body parts. You're looking at, you're already absolutely decentralized your whole way of thinking. See, so this is what I'm saying when you were posing your question, which was a great question, but there's so much more underneath stuff going on than just simply what happened in our day and age. You follow me?
I do. Tom Gagliano, our guest on the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. Tom is a mentor, a public speaker, the author of several books, including Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, another great title from Tom, The Problem Was Me. What made you write these books? Was there a feeling of your experience taught you that the problem was widespread, kind of epidemic? Did you want to reach people that might never really get this? Tell me what motivated the books.
Honestly, I wish I could say I was a hero. What motivated the books for me is my wife and kids left me. I'm a recovering addict. I was a bully. I was an angry kid, always in trouble. And I got married. I knew how to do one thing, make money, good businessman. But I was destroying my life with my wife and kids. She left, and I said, you know what? I better fix what's broken in me because I'm going to spend a very lonely life. After I did that, through therapy, 12 steps, and everything else, I decided I had two goals, Ed. One was to give my children the loving and positive messages that I never received as a kid. And two is to help others who suffered as I had from negative child messages. That's where I came up with my first book that became a bestseller. You know, I have clients all over the world who read my book and said, you wrote a book about me. It's about me and other people I've helped. And then it just pushed me towards parenting. I didn't move towards parenting. It seemed that media and other people, PR people, they just started to say that you're hitting a lot of parents, you're hitting their hearts, and that's what moved me towards the parenting piece. And, you know, and again, I started to talk about, you know, what I not only did in my life with my kids, but what I followed people that really had what I wanted with their children. And that was a really great relationship, creating a child that faced the world with integrity and confidence, understanding that controlling our kids' behavior and putting all our fears and expectations in their diapers never works. Instead, we have to give them the tools to control their own behavior, where they make those healthy decisions, like a hazing, exactly what we're talking about, like saying no to drugs, but not doing it because their arm is bent, but doing it because they want to do it. I tell parents all the time, we want our kids to want to do the right thing, not feel like they have to, because that ain't going to work, plain and simple.
The book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. You've got a lot of grandparents actually diapering their grandchildren today because in a single family household, mom or dad is out at work. Give them a brief understanding of what we mean by that. I think the moms and dads are going to get this frustration, anger, animosity between the two of you, resentment about your job, your boss. All of these can wind up in your kid's diaper if you're doing all of this and experiencing all of this in front of them. But grandma and grandpa might not know exactly what you mean. Let's help them a little bit. How do grandparents avoid this problem?
It's you really have to take a peek into yourself. And I think what's really important that people miss is we always kind of look at how our relationship is with our grandparents, our relationship as a child now was with our parents. But a huge piece component here is a child sees how the parents and grandparents interact with each other. Is mom and dad nurturing each other? Are they supporting each other? Or is one running away, shutting down, not helping each other when the other struggles? How's grandma and grandpa helping mom and dad? So it's really important for grandparents and parents to understand that children are not just looking at how you react to them, but they're also looking at how you react to all the people in your life that you're close to. Very important, because that's how they develop their version of intimacy when they grow up. What is going to be intimacy to them? Is it going to be something that's loving, nurturing, wonderful, that you share your feelings, you're vulnerable, that the people around you help you in your struggles? Or is intimacy going to be something to the child where the child says, you know what, it's fearful, it's painful, nobody gets along, everybody's yelling at each other? It's really important to understand that concept, because I think that many parents, many grandparents, they really don't see that how they react with each other. You know, kids are little marketing researchers. They jot it down, they store deep in their psyche in recordings, and it shows up in their adult life, in their intimacy. And I think that people don't realize how they're showing up with other people, their significant other and grandparents, and how powerful that is in determining how the child's going to show up in their adult life.
You know, Tom, I'm on your website right now, www.thomasgagliano.com. And when we hear your background a moment ago, then we see you on the front homepage of the website. It's really hard to believe that you went through this kind of hell and long, a painful process, because you look amazing. You look almost too young to have had all of that. I think this may be a very important point for people. No matter how deep in you are, how difficult the struggle is, you're here to say, I think, and bear witness that you can turn this all around. You can actually have the life force, the vibrancy, the compassion, the interaction with your kids, your grandchildren, no matter how far off course you get. Did it seem like you were miles and miles from civilization when you were deep in your troubles? And were you impressed the way we are right now to see that you could recover and have an amazing life?
You know, Ed, honestly, when I was going through it, it was very hard to put one foot in front of the other. I felt hopeless. But, you know, again, I had to trust a process in my life that life was my greatest teacher. If I wanted to heal, if I wanted to become happy, I was going to have to trust a process that Tom wasn't in control of. That's very difficult when you come from a challenging childhood, because you lose trust for people. You lose trust for anybody trying to guide you. You feel like they're going to let you down like you did in childhood. And it was a very difficult process. And that's what I tell people that come to me. I facilitate four groups a week for addicts, for couples, for whatever. I said, look, you're going to struggle trying to trust a process you can't control. I'm asking you to give me your trust long enough where you could start to feel the rewards of this process. But you won't feel it right away. You have to walk through it first. And then when you start to feel better about yourself, because you know, Ed, at the end of the day, the most important relationship everybody in this world has is not the one with their kids or their parents or even their God. It's the one they have with themselves. If I don't like me, if I'm not comfortable in my own skin, it's going to show up all over the place. So I always have to remember that and focus back on me, because I'm the key ingredient to a happy life. Nobody else can make me happy but me. And I think that's why I named the book The Problem Was Me, which, of course, my wife loved the title. But the point is, she says, I finally got it right. Dude, I said, thank you, hon.
You're amazing. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. Bottom of the hour is coming. But I do want to say this. For people who are hearing you for the first time today and feel the hope trickling in, follow through and go to the website www.thomasgagliano.com. And I say to everyone from whatever school, academic institution, or just a big family, Tom can come and speak. Invite him to do so. Have him out. Get on this website. Use the resources. Tom, you got a big heart. And this is a world where heart is in short supply. We need you, my brother. We need you very, very much. Thank you for being generous with your time today. We look forward to having you back on the show real soon.
Ed, always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man. Have a great weekend. Wow. Talk about a journey in life, right? How many people would have the courage of this guy? Oof. In That Deep comes all the way back, and the title of the book, The Problem Is Me. Oh, did I say that wrong? The Problem Was Me. Oh, wow, that's an important distinction. The Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network. Tom's other book is Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. Go to www.thomasgagliano.com. It's the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network.